Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday night, so you may or may not know what that means. What it means is Brian's hosting, so there's a hard cut of the music. What is going on, everyone? It is me, Ryan, from the Mark Order, joined, as always, by my buddy, Asian Joe. How you doing, Joe?
As always? Wow, that's...
Kate's not here, so we'll say, you know, we're the ones who are always here and not Kate. We'll just take shots at her since she's not here.
That's fair. I feel like we were using as always pretty loosely, but I'm good. How are you, Ryan?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I apologize, everyone, for the last minute notice of no show last week. Ran into a bit of an emergency and left Kate absolutely no time to find a co-host. So it was just far simpler to cancel. But yeah, that's about it. Anything new with you, Joe?
No, I mean, coming off of Labor Day weekend here, went to Colorado and, you know, did nature things. And yeah, I'm good now. What about you? How was your weekend? Did you do anything or did you stay home?
Let me think. What did I do? I had some stuff. I mean, I had a fantasy football draft.
Yep, I did that.
But like a barbecue fantasy football draft. So it's, you know, the draft is probably the shortest part of the whole function.
I had one of those 2 weeks ago. Yep.
Other than that, not really. You know, Labor Day is an odd weekend because it's the end of summer. And even though I'm not a big summer fan, it, you know, I like the longer days and stuff like that. And now we're starting to turn away from that. And
it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's football season, though.
Yeah, that's true. Now, football season is weird because obviously I love football season, but now I can no longer say like, oh, the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions because now we're in a new season.
They are until they lose.
That's true. But you still have that now. Like you had months of just enjoying it. And now you gotta, you know, and considering being an Eagles fan, it hasn't been a regular thing in our history. It's you try to enjoy it for as long as humanly possible. Who's your team again? Green Bay?
It is. I'm a Packers fan, but college football is kind of ruling right now.
Did you guys win?
We did. We beat Cincinnati last Thursday down in Arrowhead.
Do you guys still have the quarterback who wants to be Mahomes?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not a big college football guy. So it's, I know, like, I didn't go to a place with a team and around here Rutgers, I guess, but they haven't historically been that great. And then you'd have to go to like Penn State, and that's just too far. So it's hard to
cheer on Temple.
I guess there's Temple, but again, they haven't been good for most of their
Villanova. Villanova football. That's where it's at for you, Ryan.
Oh yeah, I'm actually just not a big college sports guy in general. I like the March Madness because it's just fun, but I've been more of a pro sport guy.
Well, speaking of pro sports, you feeling pretty good about your fantasy team then? Not going too deep into this, but
it's decent. I wouldn't say it jumps off the page is great, but there's no weaknesses. Yeah, you know, there's just. How about you? Feeling good?
One draft, I was 13 out of 14 teams in the draft order, so it was okay. Because, you know, if you're not going to be the top end, I may be at the very bottom of the draft for the snake draft. That wasn't too bad. My other draft this weekend, I was like 8th pick out of 12 teams, which is not great.
12 teams, so I was 10th pick out of 10, but I like that pick.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But 10 is way better than 12. It's just because there's, you know, so many more guys available. Fernando is predicting Packers versus the Eagles in the NFC Championship game.
Well, you know, with Micah Parsons now.
I don't know what the Cowboys were thinking.
Jerry Jones was like, didn't want to deal with it anymore, I guess.
I guess, but like, I know it's not in division, but I still don't trade in conference if I can avoid it.
That's fair. Like, it wouldn't have back in like, you know, the 90s.
No, I just don't know how, like, if you're in the championship game, like the NFC, if you meet him in the playoffs at any point before the Super Bowl, and for whatever reason, he, say, destroys your team, and the odds are far greater than of that than saying he, you know, oh, it happens in the Super Bowl. Like, just far lower odds. Oh. That's just me.
I can't wait for that playoff matchup this year, the Packers and the Cowboys.
I can, because I just would like the Cowboys to not make it. It's funny when they don't. So yeah, moving on to wrestling, I guess we should do, because it's technically we are a wrestling podcast reviewing a wrestling show. The only news and notes we were talking a little bit beforehand, the only news and notes I could think of from this week have to do, well, there's two items, but they were announced at the same time. Pay-per-views are now going to be pay-per-views are going to be available on Max. But you still have to pay for them. You just get the discount, which I actually think is kind of nice. We'll talk about that. I said kind of. I am definitely tempering it. And All Out will be at 3 p.m. because they're not saying it, but WWE now trying all their WrestlePalooza, which is such a dumb name, but WrestlePalooza at night. AEW's like, well, we're just not going to play that game. We'll go first. And it seems to work for them when they go first. So I actually understand the move. So we'll start with this in a two real quick. Well, yes, Big G, my Eagles are playing the Cowboys tomorrow. And I'm Cowboy games are great and terrible at the same time. If you win, it's the greatest thing ever. If you lose, it hurts. So I always have mixed feelings. But back to the news. What do you think of the Max thing? And what do you think of the time?
The Max thing, I think that was kind of, you know, what we all thought was going to happen eventually, especially as they kept getting more AEW television on their platform, whether it was streaming, you know, Dynamite and Collision on it, or adding, you know, past libraries of AEW on there. I would have liked it more of a discount than what it is, than $10 off. I don't know if that really is going to deter enough people to not find other ways to watch it. I mean, it'll be a challenge, but I would have preferred a much like half off discount or something. Like $25 would have been more appetizing, I guess, to me.
I fully agree with that. I think part of their logic is, one, they couldn't get rid of the pay-per-view model, at least not yet, with the deal they have.
True. It's not because, as much of it, yeah.
I mean, they make a lot of money on pay-per-views, at least right now. And they didn't sign that deal with you know, Max. So if Max offered to basically pay more for that, right, sure. I think it's less to dissuade people from stealing it. I think they've kind of given up on the hope of that not happening. And more on the idea of it gives you at least a little benefit of Max, of like, it's $10, but that $10 is basically your subscription for the month. So, hey, you get all this other, like, it's not much. The only reason I appreciate it is because I was fully expecting them to make them full price. So even $10 is like, well, at least they try to, at least, you know.
Mm. Well, I might subscribe to Max, I guess, now that I can probably cancel Peacock.
Yeah, Peacock's falling behind again. It seemed like they were having a moment and it's struggling again. But yeah, I just think like that to me is I expected that to pay a full price, so I guess that's why I'm looking at it. Like, yeah, it's not too bad. Just give me $10 off the $10 I already pay. The key will be backlog will be real. I mean, they've already done it where they put all the old pay-per-views. Like, that's really where stuff like, and I know I've read places, and I can't remember where, so I'm blanking on where I want reference, but I do remember saying like part of what's happening with WWE is that the library ended up not, like, it had value for a bunch of years, but now not quite the value it used to have. That's why they're get basically some places have it here, some places have it there. I think AEW has the kind of fans where library might matter a little bit. And that's not a knock on WWE fans, of which I would count myself. I'm saying more just like AEW just seems to have those kind of fans where they go back and watch a lot of stuff. Now, would it be more helpful if they could get catalogs of other things? Sure, but they have ROH. They have, that would be really the key. If they could put ROH on Max, you'd get a lot. But the big other note was the 3 p.m. start time. I think it's genius. I mean, WWE wants to play their game of we'll always have a pay-per-view when you or PLE when you have a pay-per-view. Don't try to match them with time. Do it early, because I actually think it's always benefited AEW when they go early, because one, I prefer it. Two, I think it actually takes some of the energy away from wrestling fans so that they look away from the PLE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what is better than a Saturday pay-per-view is a Saturday pay-per-view that starts mid-afternoon. And knowing how long these shows go, when they go 4.5 hours, and that's not even counting probably like, you know, the pre-show stuff. Yeah, having it done at a reasonable time still at night is great. I wish they just move most of their pay-per-views to this time.
Me too. I think it's likely always going to fluctuate based on if WWE is trying to match them.
Yeah, I don't think you can keep it now. I don't think you want to announce it ahead of time when you're trying to get too far ahead.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm just saying you could see, like, whatever, Full Gear or something, WWE, like, we're hosting WrestlePalooza 2, but now it's at 3 p.m. Like, you could just see WWE pulling that scam and being like, we'll take that from you. I don't like it, obviously, from a fandom reason. What the hell, man? There's enough room out there and enough fandom for everyone. Like, I watch both, so can't you just let me watch both in peace? I'm not going to air my grievances of the fact that it's very clear WWE doesn't really care if the wrestling industry as a whole is healthy. They care. And TKO might actually even probably be worse with it. Just look at the way they are with MMA. They absolutely do not want other MMA companies. So, but that's basic. I mean, if someone in the chat can think of a news and notes, I don't think there's anything else out there that we're missing.
My only question now, if you know anything else, is if you could name a pay-per-view after that sounds like a 90s music festival, what would you name it? WrestleStock 99?
I was thinking Wrestle Fair. That's where I was going.
Wrestle Warp,
because Wrestle Fest works. That one actually works as a name. Wrestle Fair. I'm trying to think what other big ones were there. There was Ozfest, Warp Tour. Well, they both started. They were mostly early 2000s, but we'll give them 90s because it was like that flip over. Lilith Fair. Lollapalooza. I'm trying to think if there's any Woodstock. Would you say WrestleStock? WrestleStock 99 is probably my favorite. that Big G pointing out WrestlePalooza was an ECW pay-per-view. 1LT. Hello, 1LT. Wrestle Circus. Was that a 90s thing? I know what he's referencing, but was that a 90s
thing? Are you referencing Nitro Circus?
I think so. But again, we can leave the 90s thing because it's just fun to think of them after things. Wrestle Circus. Wrestle Ella?
Ella?
Well, because Big G saying Coachella, so Wrestle Ella?
I don't know. I'll keep thinking about that one.
I'm blanking on... That was a good question. That was a fun question. I can't think of... We both went Wrestle Fair because I think a little fair, but the problem is fair actually kind of works, but just Wrestle Fair sounds weird. Wrestle Sanitarium, Wrestle Brew.
I like it. I like it. You're good. This must be what it's like to try to think of a name for a subdivision.
It really must be. But I do want to take this moment to shout out our chat. Thank you, Pieces, 1LT, Big G, Scott George, Trey Sammons, Fernando. Matthew Hooks, Taylor Cannon, Lord Kev, everyone chatting. You always make it more fun when you guys are engaged, because then we can ask stupid questions like, what would you name a wrestling thing after a music festival and see what it would come with? WrestleProv, but now it's like an improv show. WrestleProv. Now I've gone off. Now I'm going off script and just to get anything that is wrestling related, not wrestling related, entertainment related, I should say. Mm-hmm. As I do that, I'm just going through, make sure there's no summer sanitary. Make sure there's no news and notes I'm missing. Nothing that I feel like we should discuss. I mean, there's obviously, nothing big. Though the time and the max thing is a big deal. It's just, we already covered it. So there's, so we're not going to take a commercial break this week. We're going to keep on with No Kate here. We'll Brian and Joe show was a little quicker, a little streamlined. Also, just we like to slip it, mix it up every now and again. But I do encourage you to check out all the wonderful shows on the Shining Wizards Network. There are amazing shows, including the flagship Shining Wizards podcast, which is every Monday. They've been doing it for, what was it, like 16, 17 years now. It's insane. They cover all wrestling, and they are all wrestling savants when it comes to this stuff. Matt, Handsome Kevin, Tony, and Brendan, all great. And if you follow their street team, you can win a prize pack, just like one LT photo. So I encourage you to watch all the shows. I mean, listen to all the shows, but I always do a little bit of extra hype on the Shining Wizards itself, because they cover everything, and they're very funny, and they have some of the best interviews you'll ever have in podcasting. I would put their wrestler interviews up against anyone's. So that's my commercial. Buy now, get an extra one free. Was there an upcoming event called September to Remember? I don't remember that. I know December to Dismember,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember September to Remember. Listen, it's why I'm glad. Like, you pick out six names for pay-per-views and you just run with them. Because it's got to be so hard to keep naming these things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're no great balls of fire, but.
Agreed. And I'm going to also agree with our chat, since we were hyping up the Shining Wizards and their street team. Scott George saying shout out to SJ. Agreed. Shout out to SJ. SJ is awesome. Always very supportive. Just a really cool person. Really fun. She's awesome. So you guys should definitely be very nice to SJ at all times. All right, so now we'll start the show. We are live from the 2300 arena tonight for Dynamite. I have not gone to any of these because of life, but that maybe I should have. I don't know. It's they picked a weird time for me. If this had been May, could have gone to all of them.
I bet if you close your eyes real tight. And you can probably still smell the smells of 2300 Arena. You can hear the sounds of it. It'll be like you're there.
I will say this, and I don't know what it was probably. I know it's been commented on elsewhere, but I'm going to comment on it here. They've set this up different than the traditional 2300 Arena. If you watch any other show that's taken place there, ROH, TNA, NWA. They don't have stadium seating. When you go to these shows, they're typically just floor seating. AEW built stadium seating for this, which I think is awesome. And I kind of hope they keep it. It's just a better way to enjoy wrestling. It would be a really cool gift to the 2300 Arena to now when you go see wrestling shows there. Because I've sat rows back there, and it is hard to watch sometimes. Because you are lower than the ring and you are seven rows back, and it just gets it's, and I know that's floor seating in general, but it's just that's every seat there. So it's, but I will always have my one memory of seeing ROH there and having Dragon Lee hop the guardrail to sit next to me in Kate's empty seat. because she went to the bathroom. That's always a funny memory to me. But
it's a big upgrade. It's an upgrade for you. Yeah.
It was an awesome upgrade for me. But yeah, that's something I noticed right away that they built that in. I think that's awesome. I've loved the look of 2300 that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a throwback. It looks grungier. One LT saying he's been to 30 shows. One LT, are you from this area? I didn't think you were from around here. I thought you were Texas for whatever reason.
I thought it was Carolina for some reason. I don't know.
But yeah, 2300 is not obviously the greatest place in the world. Now it's far better than it used to be. From Connecticut. Wow, we were both way off. But at least there was a T in mine. But drivable. No, you were there. Lives in the Carolina. Damn it. I'm so off. I don't know why I thought Texas. My brain just doesn't function. But hate that Joe was right. But it is okay. Big G saying, I gotta keep my thoughts about these comments. Big G saying September to remember is going to be a 3-hour dynamite on the 17th. Thank you, Big G. That makes sense. Matthew Hooks is in Texas. See, I know some of our listeners are from. I just am really bad. Yeah, but it's an okay arena. Like I said, they're there for the wrestling history. It's not, you know, but I like this. Like, this is probably a little too small for like a keep this going forever. But I like the small shows because I just think the venues look cooler, and I always like the look. So we start off, we're kind of still into the introduction phase of the night when Gabe Kidd comes out on the microphone. So there was a couple minutes of awkwardness where he's trying to talk, but the volume of the microphone isn't there yet. But he essentially calls out Darby Allin, basically saying, I'm gonna fight you. I guess bruv, because he's British too. Darby Allin does come out, and he has a skateboard with thumbtacks. He's going to use it on Gabe Kidd, but then Wheeler Yuta shows up, so he uses it on Wheeler Yuta. Then the rest of the Death Riders show up, because of course. I don't know why they don't all just come out at once, but that's a whole different thing. But then the hook signal flashes and his music starts. But before Hook really makes it out, the Ops music kicks on and they run past him, and Hook looks not happy. We'll talk about that in a minute. There are then fighting all over the place, and then Darby Allin and Gabe Kidd make it to the back, and Darby Allin puts Gabe Kidd into a body bag that's attached to the back of a truck and pulls away, dragging him behind the truck. Now, my only thing here is I'm sitting at home watching this, and they are a half hour from me, and it is pitch black where I am, or close to pitch black where I am, and there was still light there, so I'm a little confused on that. But other than that, I loved this opening segment. What did you think?
That's the part you're confused about, of all things.
What else was there to be confused about?
I don't know. A man who's kidnapping people and chloroforming people.
I forgot the chloroform. Good call. That's how he got, Gabe Kidd down by chloroforming him. Listen, if it was anyone other than Darby Allin, yes, I'd be confused. But it's Darby Allin.
And also, I have no idea what happened to Gabe Kidd, because we see later in the night Darby makes a return. So a lot of questions still in the air.
Took him over the bridge. He's in Jersey somewhere now.
That's too bad. It was a wild opening to start. It felt very, very frantic. It almost felt like a non-sanctioned lights out type of match where just they let him brawl for a long time. Where I'm expecting people to help pull him apart, but they just let him go. But it was also good to finally see them going full circle with the Death Rider thing and coming back around with Darby and Hook and Daniel Garcia and the guys who were initially there to stand up against the Death Riders to kind of hopefully close this loop.
Yeah, the Ops have been in and out with the Death Riders throughout this whole thing. So they kind of weave weirdly into this. Mm-hmm. Hook obviously has the most reason to hate them with they put him out of action in theory. Scott George thinking Tony D whacked Gabe Kidd. So we are having like three crossovers there. I'm okay with it. So yeah, you have a couple crossover. Now, well, I'm going to skip ahead, and we're going to get to the I want to talk about the Hook thing because it's just my. So the ops run out, like I said, and it's very obvious that Hook's unhappy. But the fight continues, and he fights with Yuta, so he has his part. Later on, they're being interviewed, and Hook interrupts. Smojo and Powerhouse Ops are being interviewed, and Hook steps in, and he basically says, "What the hell? I don't need you to fight for me. Also, you guys replaced me when my body wasn't even cold." Basically saying, like, as soon as you saw I was a little bit hurt, I was out. You replaced me. Now, Joe, Will Hobbs takes a little bit of an exception to this, being like, I was always part of this. I was always there. But Joe cuts and says, yeah, we did. And I was responsible for it. It was me. You know, basically, like, I guess, taking the blame for it. It's a weird, you know, but also not really apologizing. But Joe does say, hey, some point to Hook, you're going to need us and we're going to be there for you. So he is still trying to, like, extend the olive branch of friendship. I like what they're doing because you have to acknowledge it somewhat. But my only problem is Hook was gone for a while.
Yeah, I think ultimately Hook will come and see it and understand, like, yeah, I was out for a while. They got the titles. They're still in the ops family, you know, so I think he'll come around to that eventually. It's a good way for them to acknowledge it finally and kind of, you know, revisit that when he came back for a hot minute and then left again.
Yeah, because if he had only been gone a month and they replaced him for the title shot and all, I could almost be like, that does feel like you didn't even wait. But he was gone months. Like, were they supposed to not have the titles and just sit around and hang out? I don't know, but I get it. They're pushing a storyline, and I agree with you. I kind of think this is going to be a little bit of a swerve thing where you think Hook is going to go betray and then he's not, because I don't think they need Hook as a heel right now. I think he's way better off as a babyface based on the fact that you have like a Callous Faction heel, you have the Death Riders heels, you just have a lot of heels, and that's not a bad thing, but you need some strong baby faces to go against them, and I think Hook is one that you'd want. So we jumped ahead there, but I thought that was important to they flow together. We go to our first match of the night. Jesus, I was jumping way ahead. We're going to our first match tonight, which was Alex Windsor versus Mercedes Moné for the belt, I believe. This was an awesome match overall. Mercedes wrestles in an interesting style, at least right now, where she is the crafty veteran, but she's also kind of violent. Like, she takes advantage of every rule to inflict more damage than she needs to. And she's always reversing moves or doing something unique but then she'll hold on to the ropes, or she'll do the buckle. She'll do the powerbomb into the side of the apron. This was a match that people seemed to really love. Place was going nuts for it. Mercedes Moné won with a backslide, so she retained her title. After the match, Windsor went for a handshake. Moné, you know, fakes her out. Does I'm too cool for you. Windsor attacks her. Moné hits her with the belt, then puts her into the submission. It looks like, she's in trouble. But Riho returns. I didn't recognize the music at first. It took me a second. Riho getting huge chance in the place. She fights off Mercedes, and she looks to be the next challenger for the Mercedes title. So, my question to you, I have two questions for you. First, we'll go with the obvious one, which is, well, three questions. I'm adding a third. I'm wild tonight. One, did you like the match, or what were your thoughts? Two, what are your thoughts on Riho challenging Mercedes for the belt? And three, am I wrong, or is Mercedes gear NWO inspired with like her knee pads and the writing on them, the way that the font?
Starting from the latter and working from the former, yes, I felt very NWO font on the knee pads. I think she's worn it a couple times before. I thought the same thing. Two, Whenever Riho comes back, you were just inserted into a title picture, I think. I feel like whenever she comes back, she's vying for some championship belt. But it's good to see her back, and I think it makes sense for her to challenge Mercedes. And one, this was my main event for the night. This was the match I enjoyed watching the most out of everything. I thought the pacing of the match was really fun. It felt like a sprint from the first part of the match up until picture in picture, where they were just going nonstop. Windsor was trying to keep working on the leg, trying to get that sharpshooter in. Mercedes learning from her past mistakes and trying to reverse and counter it. I thought that was really fun to watch. And then the only thing that didn't make sense to me was her Mercedes really like jumping to beat the 10 count. So she got 9 and she like went on the floor after being in the sharpshooter. She like jumped in the ring to break it up. I'm like, just take the 10 count, you know, like keep the title. But otherwise, yeah, I think her winning makes sense. The way she won made sense to me. But yeah, by far my favorite match of the night.
I think there's a lot of people who would agree with you on that. I don't know if you noticed it. There was a move in picture-in-picture in which I think it was Mercedes coming off the top rope. And it looked like her and Windsor like did like a double headbutting each other. I'm almost upset it was a picture-in-picture because it looked cool, but I can't remember. Because it was picture-in-picture, I didn't get a good view of it. Riho always is in a title picture when she gets back. But she's their first champion, so I guess they figure she has that, like, some people just get that. You know, if you did it first, once a champ, always a champ type deal. I can live with that. I think her visa status probably makes it brutal for her to, like, you know,
get
to and – yeah. I could be wrong. That could be just me making things up out of nowhere. But that, generally speaking, seems to be the problem they have with certain international talents where, like, visas always get in the way. So now we move on. In between was the Hook segment we talked about. So now we're going to a new one, which is Ricochet and the Gates of Agony talking to the camera. Ricochet basically saying, like, I've had issues with Hurt Syndicate for years. It goes way back before AEW, which I think is a nice thing to acknowledge. That, like, this is a longstanding rivalry. And not just, he had a place with them, and then, you know, they've had issues. But the interesting, Toa Leona is like kind of like pacing in the back. He's the one who's got more to say, and he kind of cuts off Ricochet, but Ricochet's okay with it, and basically says, like, Brodino might have won, but we're the reason they won. Like, we cost you your titles. And he sounds angry. And they want to have a trios match of Ricochet and Gates of Agony versus Hurt Syndicate. Any thoughts on those three's promo?
No, I'm looking forward to the match. I just want some new direction for the Hurt Syndicate now that they don't have the tag team titles. You know, whether it's Bobby Lashley going on a singles run. But I think this is a fine filler of a feud. Or a pay-per-view match to get MVP back in the ring. People will pop for that. So, yeah, I think that's about what I'm going to expect right now as filler.
Yeah, and I would. So I'll skip a little bit ahead because it's not quite as involved as a promo. Renee catches up with the Hurt Syndicate later, and MVP essentially was like, Ricochet, what happened to you? You're not what you were, and you're ruining these two young men. But they do accept the challenge. So we are going to get the trios match. Go back. Mark Briscoe is making his entrance to the ring. He gets on the mic, said this is hallowed ground. This is where him and his brother fell in love with wrestling. But, you know, his focus right now is on Kyle Fletcher and the TNT championship. But then that means it has to involve Don Callis, who looks like Elton John dressed up like a prosthetic penis for Halloween. I don't actually get that added. I don't see the Elton John part of it. I guess the glasses maybe, but whatever. but Cal said he has to fight the rest of other members of the Cal's family to get the shot. So whoever Cal's comes out, hits him and Archer and Rocky. Cal says, like, hey, your first stop is Takeshita on Saturday. But Briscoe says that's not good enough. I want something now. So steps up Lance Archer. I'll just skip right through this. We'll do the whole thing together. Lance Archer. Well, actually, we'll stop there. What do you think of the first part of this?
The Briscoe calling out Fletcher? Which part?
The Briscoe promo into the Callis response.
I feel like Briscoe's kind of in a Don Callis family vortex right now. And because it's such a large family, he's going to be in there for a while until he gets Fletcher again. I'm interested to see how they do the Takeshita match on Saturday. Because you wouldn't think that Takeshita would lose that match. But at the same time, I could see him losing by distraction or by interference or something like that.
Yeah, because I just don't Takeshita can't lose.
Right. Not cleanly.
No, and because he's in his we'll talk about it in a minute. He's in his own feud with, it's not there yet, but he's gonna be in his own feud with Okada. You could see that coming a mile away.
That's why I thought maybe there's an Okada distraction or something, or he tries to help, or I don't know, you know, something like that.
Kata comes out, just keeps saying bitch, 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 bitch.
The match itself tonight with Archer was solid. It felt like a classic Mark Briscoe match where he's kind of the underdog as far as size and strength. But you know, he overcomes everything based on his his determination and his heart, and he finds a way to win.
Yeah, I've come to realize that Mark Briscoe and Darby Allin kind of wrestle similarly, mm-hmm. which is they basically get beat up all match, but you can't beat them. And then they take advantage of every opportunity to flip things into their control. And that's eventually how they win, because that's kind of what happened here. It's, Briscoe just kept...
A classic Rocky Balboa format, right?
It really is. Which works in Philly. Okay. Though I do have a question. Where's Trent Barretta?
Trent?
Yeah, have we seen him recently?
Not in a while. Not in a few weeks, month maybe.
That's weird, because he was a part of this too.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he can kind of float in and out on the family.
Oh, 1LT saying hurt. I didn't realize he got hurt again. God, he has no luck. That sucks. I didn't realize he was hurt. Just no luck. No luck whatsoever. We go to commercial, and then we come back, and Renee Paquette is interviewing Harley Cameron and Chris Statlander in a great interview where Harley is basically saying the rat isn't in the mask. The mask, you know, isn't helping. She takes off the mask. She still looks, she has her face painted the same. She said something like the mask is too powerful or something. It's something ridiculous. Some ridiculous line. Then they start talking about the tag team, and Cameron's like, hey, we're undefeated. We're awesome. We're going all the way to the top. And then she demands Brodito. But Chris Statlander cuts her off and says, let's just stick to Bane and Ford and, you know, the Triangle of Madness. And then, of course, Wheeler Yuta walks up and does another thing like, hey, did you get the message and all that? The problem I'm running into here is I actually don't mind the Statlander Death Rider story. I actually think it's very interesting. But I'm loving her with Harley Cameron. So it's like... You're gonna pull her from that?
Yeah, so interesting. Like, so she plays like the straight person in the comedy act with Harley, and all of a sudden, like, you have to go super edgy and serious when the Death Rider come around. So it's like, it's a weird dynamic of having these two parts of Statlander. I love this whole, like, you know, mismatch pairing of her and Harley. I think it's really fun, and I really do think they need a backstage run-in or segment with Brodito to, like, you know, challenge them or something, or Harley does something with them.
Pieces wants the Harley Stat versus Burbidito match. You weren't the only one, though. He also saying he enjoyed that. I'm gonna go wrestle line by Yuta, which was really good. I won't lie. Listen, Yuta has found himself in this in the Death Riders.
I had a rough night because he got the cast to the back with the skateboard earlier tonight. I'm gonna go wrestle now, and I love how much he gets from his hometown.
Fuck you to Chance. We're all over the place tonight. I had a comment. It's a question for after the show of when we think a wrestling company is going to embrace a popular pro sports storyline, but that's later. If I remember it. All right, fuck it. I'll do it now. I like to be a little wild. What's his name? Kawhi. You saw the Clippers news there, right?
I did not. I was busy today.
Oh wow, this is shaking the sports world. Kawhi Leonard, someone broke it. That the Clippers basically gave Kawhi a job at a tree company, an endorsement deal for $28 million, of which he has to do nothing. But the company's owned by the owner of the Clippers.
Okay.
So they're basically saying this is how they circumvented the cap. He hasn't done anything for them. The company's not even real. And this is how they're circumventing it. And in my mind, that leads me to, when is a wrestling company going to try this in storyline? Because it's coming.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like something you can do with the Bucks.
That was where I was going with it. So I probably should have waited, but it does feel like a Bucks thing.
Mm-hmm. The Don Callis family owns this company that the Bucks are doing sponsorships for, or something, or they're ambassadors for.
That would be, but it's something ridiculous. Like his was like a tree company or something. Yeah. So theirs would be.
Well, it's what's been going on in college athletics for decades before. When here, I'm giving you, you're going to work a summer job, washing cars, and we're going to pay you $150 an hour.
Oh yeah, I mean, I know that's, but I think people just assumed pros, since they actually get paid hundreds of millions of dollars, you didn't play that game. Like, you no longer had to. I don't know why people assume that. Like, but I also just don't know how they don't get caught. Like, does no one, like, I would have assumed, and I know this is way off topic, but I don't care. I would have assumed all endorsement deals and stuff have some review by the pro sports leagues, and that they would check out the companies that are doing these endorsements. But apparently I'm wrong, because it was a $28 million endorsement. Like, that's not a cheap one. It's not like he's I took a $2 million endorsement from this. Yeah. And it's owned by the same guy, but the guy who owns the Clippers, how hard is that to.
And let's be clear. We would probably take a $20 endorsement for the Mark Orton podcast.
Yeah, I'd also take a $28 million one if someone wants to give that to me.
Oh, that too. If anyone wins the Powerball tonight, let me know.
Oh, God. It's an unfathomable amount of money. But I will say this, Joe. I will say this because I played. Because I always play when it's over $1 billion. I'm at that point, I know I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
But what the hell? If I win the $1.3 billion and I walk away with close to $500 million,
mm-hmm.
I will pay for a Mark Order vacation.
Ooh. I thought you were going to start up a WrestleStock.
No. Oh. I'm just going to pay for a Mark Order vacation. We'll all do something fun. Knowing I will not win, so that's okay.
That's fair.
We come back. We have Brodito versus the Death Riders, which is Claudio and Wheeler, for the tag team championship. I'm loving that Brodito has some cool graphics now and stuff like that on the board. That's a very much a mix of a style. I feel like how do I want to say this? We're still getting Death Riders matches, mm-hmm. Style, which is, you have this awesome tag match. At least I really enjoyed it. Where the mixing of styles, because Brodito has a fun mix with Bandido wrestling with Wayne Brody, King being huge. And then Wheeler and Claudio also have that kind of mix where Wheeler's smaller, but Claudio's the muscle guy. I thought they had a really fun match where he had back and forth. But then, of course, at the end, you have Moxley come out and they start getting involved and they start doing the cheating. But then Darby Allin returns, no Gabe Kidd, and he chokes out Moxley, which ends up costing the Death Riders the match because their distraction doesn't pan out. So Brodito wins. And I just keep getting lost in the fact that this is how all Death Riders matches end. And I just, it's got to, I actually really like the Death Rider story right now. I don't mind that. I don't mind that the story is Darby trying to dismantle them. I think that's a lot of fun. I just need them to end differently.
No, I think that's a fair assessment because, like you, I thought going into the match, like having these two teams was a great pairing because, like you said, Claudio and Brody are both the muscle, and I enjoyed watching them hit the hell out of each other. I can watch them one-on-one for, you know, best out of seven. But yeah, you get the usual interference and the numbers game, and just, you know, they're finally getting to the point where the faces are coming out to help even the odds. But it'd be nice not to always have to do that. But yeah, one thing at a time, I suppose, you know, like the storyline with dismantling the Death Riders is fun, but the in-ring action stuff is still going to kind of be the same old, same old.
Yeah, it takes away from the match for me personally, like, because it's all I focus on then. It's just like, this is how it always ends, and I just get annoyed with it. Like, give me one non-shenanigans. Just one. But that's it. Match is good otherwise, though. I mean, I think that's what we both agree on. And
yeah, solid first title defense against a good team. A very consistently high up in the card team. So I think it helps give Verdillo some more validity.
Yeah, I think they're doing, I think they're trying to do their best to give Brodito. I mean, they have the belt, so it's weird to be like, oh, they're giving this team that has the belts validity, but big wins, making how they have a tag name now officially, even though they were called that before, now it's, you know, they have the graphics, like all that stuff makes it feel like a real thing and not thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
Even though when you look at the two of them and their characters, it does feel
it should have been a six-person tag with a three-way with Harley and Statlander in there too, because like Brodillo, they're also kind of a weird mismatched team thrown together, and also they have issues or relations with the Death Riders, so it all worked out, right?
Yeah, they are. You're right. They are the Brodillo of the women's knee tag titles. That's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
Because I would be having Harley and Stat go after him, not necessarily win him, but it'd be fun. You have Willow has had various tag partners. Willow and Aminata, you have, you know, the triangle of madness or whatever with any two of them. You have Bane and Penelope Ford. You have legitimate teams.
Mm-hmm.
So back, you know, then we go into, we're supposed to have Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Talk, I guess. But as soon as Copeland starts to come out, he gets attacked by FTR. However, Christian comes out to help save him out. It's a back and forth fight. There is a pull apart. The pull apart actually is a little bit different than normal. What's his name? Adam Priest actually starts attacking because he's sick of being pushed around. Friend of the show, Leon St. Giovanni, LSG, was seen on screen trying to keep everyone apart. So that was a fun moment.
He is the ace of space, right?
He is the ace of space.
He's helping people create space.
He was giving them you nailed it, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought the Adam Priest part was cool because you don't typically see that. Like, I'd say he's overall in AEW. Like, I was about to say he's a nothing. He's not a nothing, but in AEW, he's not a player. Like, he's just a guy. He's the ROH locker room because that's who cleared out. I should stress the ROH locker room cleared out, not the AEW locker room. But he is the one who gets involved. I just think it's really cool. I just think that was a cool way of handling it.
It was a very convoluted way to set up, to highlight Adam Priest and set up this, you know, match for Saturday with him and a mystery, a partner to be named later versus FTR. Because we didn't have all the security and all this locker room emptied out when Darby and Gabe Kidd were fighting each other in the first part of that of the show.
That's true, we didn't.
So like, what? Why this? Why do we all of a sudden need to have, you know, clear our locker room and have all the security come out from these people?
More guys? I'm just trying to think why.
Also, I would much rather prefer to hear, you know, Copeland and Christian on the mic. I don't need them to have a pull apart brawl to sell me on the match. I'm already sold. I think everyone's sold on the match already. So that's why I'm like, we did all this just to help, you know, create this match on Saturday with Priest and FTR. So hopefully that's a good thing for him.
Well, Joe, I have bad news. I didn't win the Powerball.
Son of a gun.
So, and I didn't win any combination of them either. So
you're going to be sleeping in your backyard.
I legitimately don't know what I would do with that money. but yeah, I agree with you. Why are they pulled apart when no one else is? It doesn't make sense, but I don't have an answer. Obviously, there is a promo later. Well, not to say a promo. There is a moment later where Stokely starts to talk into the camera. Then Adam Priest walks up and Cash Wheeler just gets furious with him. Who do you think you are? What are you doing? You better find a partner because we'll beat you up on Collision. So that's what Joe's saying. There's a match on Saturday. They kind of – who's going to be his partner is the question.
I don't know. I don't watch ROH.
No, but my point being – but hear me out. They're saying find a partner.
Mm-hmm.
You got to believe the partner is going to be someone, right?
I'm trying to think of who might have an issue with FTR who's not Copeland or Christian.
That's Chad. Do you have any suggestions on who may be? Because I just can't believe you'd be like, find a partner and then just have it be. And it's not just ROH guy. And that's not knock on ROH. It just feels like.
Mm-hmm. Usually when it's find a partner, it's like.
It's someone surprising or someone. And I can't think of who they would have pissed off to Adam Edge. I'm just curious. That is the curiosity of my night. So then we do get to our main event of Hangman Adam Page, Jet Speed, Kenny Omega, and Kenny Omega versus the Don Callis family featuring Josh Alexander and Kyle Fletcher and the Young Bucks. It is your typical 8-man clusterfuck of a match, and I always say that as a compliment. I don't think that's a bad thing. These are all awesome wrestlers who just are crazy. There's a moment where you have Hangman, you have the Elite basically in the ring, and the crowd says, "Mine," because no one thought they'd see this for a while. And obviously, the tag team implications because Hangman and Kenny were tag team partners. Like, there's a whole lot going on there.
It's all about the implication.
The implication. Nothing's going to happen, but the implications. It is as back and forth of a match as you could have with these four. I think everyone gets a chance to shine. We did skip something. I will get to that afterwards. Thank you, 1LT. It was very quick. It's Tony Storm's promo. There's a moment where Kyle charges at, I forget who he's charging at, but he screams, and the look on his face is just hilarious. Like, he just emotes wonderfully in that ring. The Don Callis family won, when Don Callis family and the Bucks won with the Brainbuster from Fletcher on Kevin Knight. After the match, it's your typical beatdown, which we'll get to in a second. I'll address my feelings on that in a second, which is Kenny Omega is beat to hell. They target his stomach a lot. Then they put him through a table. They suplex him from the ring apron through a table onto the outside, and he has to be on a stretcher with his neck in a brace. I'm assuming this is how they write him off for a while. I don't know why. I don't know what their plan is. My issue. So I'll give two things here. The match was fun. I have absolutely no complaints on the match itself. Again, it's clusterfuck. I am very bad at describing matches. That's why I prefer Kate here. She's much better at nitpicking the actual moments. It's not how I watch it. To me, the story was pretty much the plucky good guys trying to, like, you know, jet speeding, trying to show how good they are, with Hangman just at certain points just being a monster, like just leveling the ring out on his own, and Kenny Omega doing Kenny Omega things. But two things bothered me about this beatdown. One, I understand that the Cal Sanity family, they have numbers, but now it's starting to get into Death Riders territory where it's like, okay, after every match, you're going to have, like, I don't want that. Like, be different. Two, why Kenny took a suplex from the ring apron through a table, but that's a move taken a lot by wrestlers, but he needs to be put onto the stretcher. Like, that's what, like, it wasn't like a particularly brutal attack. Like, he took worse in the match. So I don't necessarily love that that's what they're doing. Do you have any thoughts on any of this?
No, I think you're spot on with the match being, you know, a cluster in all the good ways. It was very fun to watch them, all four members of the Elite, back in the ring together. I think, you know, and I'm looking forward to when the arc comes, when the Bucks eventually turn face again and we get that reunion. Mm-hmm. As they start teasing, using being the Elite, that name again, you know, bring back their blog for a short minute clip or whatever it was. So that's a fun little moment. It's been fun to watch the Bucks kind of go from one faction to another, because after the Elite fell apart, you know, they tried to, you know, hang out with the Death Riders. Now they're kind of hanging out with the Talos family. They're kind of finding themselves again. So it's kind of fun to watch. But yeah, getting to the point of the match where, you know, they're running off Kenny or doing an injury angle with him again, because I feel like we do that a lot with him lately. I'm just trying to figure out what the story is going forward. Because you have Mark Briscoe, who's trying to take out the Talos family, right? And then you have, obviously, Heyman and Kenny and Jesse, apparently, now. So I'm trying to figure out where these pieces fit now that we have these injury angles. And also why Adam Page was much better after landing on his neck on a chair.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why you have to take out Kenny Omega like that. Like, if he just goes away for a while and comes back as he's healthy, like, you don't need that. Like, it just feels like a waste for when you, if you want to use it on someone else. I could be wrong. I mean, he may not be out long. I mean, it could just be they like to do this too. I mean, where they'll say the guy's out and then he comes back. And then, so I don't know. I just get annoyed that their matches are like, after every match, it's a beatdown. It's like, stop that. Like, let some things just be over. Big G meant referencing something I was going to talk about, which is the Bucks having their sad Virgil moment, which is they did a thing before where the Bucks had to basically do a very indie thing, which is before the match, they all had to, before the night, I should say, they went out and, I'm blanking on simple words here. Oh, they did a photo op with fans.
Yeah, they did the $20 meet and greet.
$20 meet and greet with fans that you see a lot. Like, if you go to 2300 Arena for other shows, it happens all the time. And it didn't look super successful. So it was a very, like, sad moment for the Bucks, which I thought was very funny.
You know what I popped for, though, was their fast, like, their website with that long URL.
Yes. I will say what they're doing with the Bucks is genius. That part is, there's absolutely no complaint on my end for how they're handling that.
No, it's great.
One LT wanted us to talk about the Tony Storm promo because I did forget it. Hold on, I gotta find my notes on it.
She's still looking for all comers.
Isn't she always? So Tony Storm had a very short promo saying if the building could talk, it would never shut up. but she promises to be the most batshit bitch who's ever pissed in this sink. The title's her cross to bear, and she needs someone to, like, a woman to step up to play a part in the greatest show. It was a typical Toni Storm promo that's a lot of fun.
But who is the person to step up? Who's her next challenger?
That seems to be the issue.
I mean, you beat Mercedes, you beat Athena.
I really don't know. I don't know. One LT saying Bozilla, it's not going to be Bozilla. I mean, I guess it could be, but she's going to lose if it is. People are now saying Statlander, maybe. Like, that's where they're going with Statlander. If they ramp that up, it could work.
Sure.
You have Megan Bain again if you really want to heat her back up. They have talent. It's just who do you want? Like, they got to pull the trigger on someone. I love Toni Storm, but she's at the point where she doesn't need the title.
Yeah, and there's just not. You have to spend some time to build someone up. And right now, there's not. I don't feel like there's a serious contender for her right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just don't think there's anyone right now. She's better off without the title because they don't look like they have a contender. Whereas you put someone else with the title, there will be a contender. And
also, it makes her character a little bit more. There's different levels to her character when she's not the champion.
Yes, and her character just doesn't need the title. It's just, like, I keep going back to that. Like, certain wrestlers reach points where they don't need the title. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't want, like, she should at some point challenge for the title because that's who she is. But if we look on the men's side, Ospreay.
Mm-hmm.
No title. He's in title matches every now and again, but then he's in other stuff. Like, there's just certain wrestlers, they don't need the title. She doesn't. She has such a good character. She can just live on that for a while, helping everyone out while someone else holds the title. So I don't know who it's going to be, but it's got to be someone. So that is a quick rundown of our show tonight. I enjoyed the Dynamite. How'd you feel about it?
Out of 4 or 5, what are we going, like, the high? Are you in rankings out of 4 or 5? Like, I'll give you a number.
Well, I mean, how do you want to rank it? You know how I rank things.
I do. I'll go 3.
So a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I'll stick with that as well.
The Mercedes Windsor match was fun. That's my favorite part. And, you know, the 8-man tag has some fun moments in it.
Yeah, that match was awesome. That match was real fun. Yeah, so that was great. I feel the same way, 3. But that's our show tonight. So, Joe, when you're not here, where can you be found?
You can find me on the social medias at _AsianJoe. And on my social medias bios, you can find a link to my serial review blog, which I finally get a new one. So if you go there, you should see it. It's reviewing Orange Cream Pop Captain Crunch. So that is where I'm at. Ryan, what about you when you're not talking on Wednesdays carrying the Mark Order podcast?
Well, you can find me on all our socials at Mark Order Pod. I also have a history blog here for history.com. I do have to do some new articles. I'm going to be trying something new very soon. So you'll be on the lookout for that at _HereForHistory or at Here for History, depending on the place. But other than that, I want to thank the chat for being around, hanging out with us. 1LT, Big G, Scott George, Pieces. I'm blanking on names, but everyone who showed up, thank you so much. It's always Big G. It's always fun when you guys are around. It just makes things makes talking wrestling a lot more fun. So thank you. And with that, you guys are going to hear me do my thing. I go outro overlay, I scroll down, and I do outro.
This concludes the Mark Order podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.